Hey guys, today's podcast was a bit of an all over the shop. It went over a few different topics. Kindness and the difference between kindness and care. A lot of people had a bit of a tough time figuring those two out. Also, what makes something spiritual and then how to be kind in a spiritual direction. And then we touched on the four different qualities that make something spiritual. Mm. And yeah, we had a great class. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Thank you.
So I still don't quite understand the difference between kind and care.
Difference between being kind and the difference between being caring.
Yes, like I understand that Sean-Pete said the other day that cares release suffering and kind bring joy. But in like the day-to-day practical example, I just get like all my examples are caring. I can't find any like kind, or okay. Maybe it's because I still don't understand the difference, but I still, yeah.
You have no kindness?
Does Bennett have kindness?
Yes. Yeah,
many kindness. Yeah, many kindness. Yeah.
Do you want to give us one of your examples and you think it's care and we might be able to point another light onto it?
For example, giving someone a lift, would that be caring or would that be kind? Because it is helping someone really suffering, like...
And really, they're in suffering?
Where are you taking
them? I think if you're driving them through a hailstorm, yeah. That stops them walking through rain and getting sick.
Yeah.
But if it's a nice sunny day and you're stopping them from walking, they're not in that much suffering. If they're carrying a lot of stuff, that's different. But if it's just a nice thing to do, that's just joy. Oh, that's better. And we listen to cool music on the way and sing.
Oh, okay. If you're giving them a lift so that they could come to class, That's like in a spiritual direction.
Ooh, that's a spiritual kindness.
Or is it not care? Mm-hmm. It's kindness then.
I don't know, Tim.
I think we're getting hung up on the positive aspects. Because I think most of life is either... We're pretty much negative searching. That's like regular life for us is negative. And sometimes we think we're being kind, like, oh, hey, Sean, you want a beer? It is kind, but it's a... What kind of kindness?
Blind. Temporary.
Temporary. It's a temporary kind of kindness. So it's good for that moment. And actually, if our relationship is I just buy Sean beers...
It's great.
And that's the only thing Sean does with his life. And
Tim's doing a real good impact on me.
Yeah, I know. See how that kindness itself doesn't go anywhere. It's not an eternal, perfect kind of kindness.
So now, what is the difference between being generous and being kind?
Ooh.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I have a question for you, two questions.
Yeah.
Why do you have that question?
Because I know generosity is one of the six Bodhisattva characters, and caring is one of the four eternal hearts. And kind, maybe I'm just like overthinking it. I don't know.
Because the it's like
why did you ask that question about her question?
Because kindness and generosity for me are similar, and they both are good intention towards other life. So, instead of looking at kindness and generosity as what's the difference, I think have I got a kind intention to other life? So I point it back on myself quickly. But you're looking at the actual definition of those two words. That's why I asked. I'm like, do I have a good intention? No.
Mm.
Okay, I should do that one.
I remember in a class. A while ago, I think you explained that the four eternal hearts are the intention, and the six Bodhisattva characters are like the outward or the action of that intention.
Yeah. So how does your intention appear? If you have an intention, and you just sit there, no one knows what your intention is. But it's not until I go to do something, then you see what my intention was. So you don't know if I'm a kind person or not until I act generous or greedy. So if there's only two dumplings left on the plate and there's four people there and I quickly go I'm not a very kind, that's not a kind intention.
Well done.
It's smart, but it's not kind, right? But if I instead go, oh, and I pretend, oh no, I'm not hungry, I'm actually really full, even though my stomach's like you can safely say, all right, even though he's still hungry, he's still showing a kind intention to share that. And the difference I've noticed is I remember when I was a kid and someone would, you'd go to get some chips off them and they'd like hold their hand around all the chips and you could barely get one out. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
And you're like, and then it gets awkward. You're like, this is taking so long. I got a crumb. That's all right.
Breaks the chip off.
Ever since I first met Tim, every time he's ever shared everything, none of that shit, he rips the bag open and puts it, and his body language is, here, it's everybody's chips now. As opposed to...
Have a chip, I dare
you. That's enough.
Oh, you know when you get your friend and you have it, that's enough! So, one is generosity, and that's in body language, it's in tone of voice, it's in the way we treat people, it's in the words we choose.
You take a step back too.
Mm. Yeah, Tim puts it there, and then he does the opposite to claiming it. He's like, it's not mine.
Oh, yeah, some people do it. I've seen a short pig one, he's put it down, he's like, which ones do you want? Like, your chest is blocking it all.
He's like, here, do you want a piece of pizza?
Yeah, yeah. Which one do you want?
Take that one. So, yeah, the intention is inside. So to have a kind intention can appear in so many different ways. Can you think of how a kind intention can appear? Give me some practical examples. So that we can clear up Belen's question.
So we define kindness as bringing joy and care as releasing suffering.
Yes.
Cool. So a kindness would be... And does kindness in the spiritual sense have to be like in spiritual direction?
We started with a definition of kindness and caring. Kindness is to share joy and caring is to release suffering.
Awesome. And Merrin has an example of kindness not necessarily with a spiritual intention yet.
Sharing cake.
Ooh.
It's delicious, everyone loves cake, but sometimes it's not very healthy. If it's good cake, it's not healthy.
Does the unhealthy cake bring joy?
Yeah, temporary joy.
There you go.
Some fast joy.
Mm, okay.
Some potential later suffering. But.
So do we consider that kind or care? So do we have a final on that? Is sharing cake a joy, a care, a kind or
it's
a care?
Kindness.
Mm-hmm. Kindness. What if the person is like seriously suffering from
sugar.
Lack of cake?
Probably if they're
that's
hungry.
A real thing.
That's a real thing. Cake deficiency.
It's a case by case situation.
Right.
Meaning cake by cake situation.
Yeah. Every case you've got to reobserve. This is not a formula that's set in stone, because every moment is another series of constantly changing. And your intention is constantly changing. So every situation is different. So what might have been a good idea was to share cake with someone one day, totally different person in that same scenario who's got a weight issue or diabetes or something, and you share that cake again. Is it still a wise kindness?
Is it still kindness?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right? So do you see how it's about observing, constantly reobserving? Does that itch scratch the itch of your question at all?
A little bit? I've got a good example.
Oh,
good. So it happened to me today. I was walking to Valerie and Belen's house, and Belen ran into me and she smiled at me and said hello. That was a kindness that she did.
So what would you call that?
That's kindness.
Yeah, yeah. That's the intention is kindness?
Yes.
How is that intention is appearing?
Oh, she was being generous, sharing her good mood,
good,
smiling.
Good mood,
yeah,
good
so
character.
Her smiling made me smile.
Sharing a smile, right? All ways of being generous. Cool. Keep going. That's
that was
the example.
My example, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
It's simple.
So now we've got kindness can appear through being generous to share materials like food, water, money, and a good character. These are all types of kindness. To walk around showing a nice character is like sharing joy. You ever had someone... Did you see that video they posted and the dude's on the train and everyone's a stranger and he's just watching something and he starts laughing and he's laughing and everyone on the whole train starts laughing? It's hilarious, right? But that's a kindness. That's sharing joy. He didn't actually share anything. He just sat there enjoying himself and everyone around him was infected by it. So you don't have to think of kindness as only giving stuff away, because sometimes you don't have that much to give, but you can still share something.
Mm.
That was good. I like that. I'm gonna end up. Sometimes you don't have too much to give. Yeah, you always can share something is the main point of that.
Got it more clearly with examples.
Because there's another one you said last week about if someone is injured, even though I may want to try and be kind to them, I can't really care for them unless I have a skill or ability to care, to take away that suffering.
All right, yeah.
So in some instances, it's like I think easier to see kind care, and others it's really difficult. But that was one that kind of always stuck with me. Like to actually release someone's suffering, you need some kind of skill to do that.
Hmm. There's a whole checklist. They need to want your help. You need to have the ability to help them. You need to be able to help them without creating suffering for yourself and them. It has to be your free will to help them.
And enjoy to do it.
And you've got to be able to enjoy the process.
That's the 5 ways to wise care on the blog available at www.insertthehype.com.
if I find someone who's in the desert and they're dehydrated and I want to be kind to them and I go, oh, here, man, have some beer, have some wine, and they've been in the desert nearly dying from thirst, are they going to want the beer or the wine? That's the, like, joy. Yeah, let's have a party. And they're like, dude, dying of thirst, water. So until, if someone's in suffering, like before when you turned around and I was going to get you to do Qigong and you're like, my back, right? Let's play Qigong. And you're like, dude, my back. You can't enjoy Qigong until you fix the pain, right?
Yeah.
So one was me trying to share joy with you. Let's do Qigong. And you're like, can we fix my back first? You needed to have the suffering released to create joy.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
It's a good question. And what's the definition of spiritual kindness?
Is that releasing suffering in a wise and spiritual direction?
Spiritual kindness. That's good. That's good.
What is that? Can you get some examples? Examples.
For it to be spiritual, it has to be perfect and eternal. So an example of, and it's kind you're after.
Kindness.
So it's releasing suffering. So an example of spiritual.
Kind is not releasing suffering.
Kind is creating joy.
Yep.
Oh my. These classes, yeah, they are creating joy for everyone who attends them in a spiritual direction.
Why are they spiritual?
Because we discuss philosophy and we work on bettering ourselves.
Nice use of the word. Okay, so yeah, classes, this one. Any others?
About last Sunday, the Sunday before, I asked John what he was up to. And so I came over because I was doing Uber. Sitting down in the car for too long creates suffering. And so we decided to go to Green Bay, but unfortunately I couldn't get any bibimbap.
It's a Vietnamese dish?
It's Korean.
It's a Korean one with the
A. You were just in Korea.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought it was bibimbap.
It's bibimbap, yeah, with the rice and the vegetables.
So they were out of order, so besides that, we decided to get a coffee. Of course, I showed a bit of kind as well as because I shouted Jono coffee as well. But not only that, we came back and enjoyed each other's company and showing kind and care for each other when we, because we did, like, we walked on each other's back, then we also did Qigong with each other as well as having yarn about everyday life. And then also talking about a bit of philosophy as well. So that it's also showing kind, care, and I'd say generosity, all three of that.
Okay.
That's the moment.
So kindness in that you share time. One, you can share time. We never mentioned that. Share time just in a positive direction is a type of generosity. Two, generous with materials of food, right? Then you said you came back and did stretching and stuff. So actually that falls into a type of good karma, and releasing suffering is care. But is stretching and massage a spiritual kindness? Is it a spiritual kindness or care?
It's a wisdom ability. So if they're developing that, then that'd be an eternal wisdom ability.
Ooh, she said wisdom ability.
Versus like temporarily releasing suffering. Yeah, so if you can help them, like, maybe understand how they're causing that suffering and help them release it, and maybe they won't create it again, then that's more in spiritual direction versus like good karma of temporarily releasing suffering, but they don't really know like how they created it, and should have to do it again.
Can I bring everyone into this conversation? What's the word beginning with I that she's talking about?
Intention.
Now? Intention. So what she's talking about is the same action, but actually her intention into that action is totally different.
Her as the person being healed or the person doing the healing?
The person with the intention.
With the intention.
Okay. For both people.
Because maybe I'm healing this person, I'm healing someone, so he can drive me home.
Yeah.
Still healing.
Yeah.
Still good.
Yeah.
But different intention.
Yeah.
I can give you a phone if you want.
Yeah.
Do better.
So same action, but different intention.
Yep.
And that's, I think, the quality we're trying to understand is, like, there's many kinds of kindness, but if we want to get to a deep way, a spiritual kind of kindness, how do we observe that? It's quite tricky.
Can I ask then, how would you define spiritual? If what Marian said was eternal, and perfect. Is that part of the qualities or?
So what I was getting at was with Daniel's example, the only part that to me represented a spiritual kindness was when they shared philosophy, because that's the beginnings of eternal wisdom. That's where eternal wisdom comes in. Qigong is perfect and it's amazing and I love it, but you wouldn't call it an eternal practice. It only works for a human body. So while I'm in a human body, I can practice it. But if I'm born in an alien's body with a totally different body, unless I've already reached master level of Tai Chi, that Qigong form becomes not so useful anymore. I need a Qigong form for human level. Until my ability is aware of that Tai Chi philosophy deep from my subconscious, then I can move it to any body. For it to be spiritual, it has to be sharing an eternal ability. That's where Brooke came in with wisdom ability. She said, if I'm massaging someone and all I do is release their suffering and push them out the door and they go create it again, that temporary release of suffering was there. But if while they're training with me and I'm massaging them and I teach them Tai Chi, teach them how to heal themselves, boom, 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 they've learned an ability that allows them to stay free from suffering. Now we're talking more that care with that personal for eternal heart style intention. But when it's just massage, take money out the door, that's clearly just, it's even good karma. That's still good karma. It's just not spiritual intention.
But isn't that, with releasing tension, isn't that still also the way we're doing it, limited to our human form? So would you still say that's eternal wisdom?
Well, if you're helping them to awaken their consciousness to learn Qigong as a bridge to Buddhism, their consciousness is beginning to get out of blindness. So without philosophy, actually, all of it's temporary. Does that make sense? Like without eternal wisdom, to have an eternal direction, all the stuff we train is still just temporary. But when it's about training the consciousness, so teaching someone Qigong, teach someone to be really aware of their body, awesome. Don't teach them Buddhism, they don't know how to guide their heart, they get into a fight, now they've got Qigong power, bang. What kind of karma are they going to create? Same ability I've taught them, Qigong, to be aware of their body. Different intention creates a different outcome. Certain type of seed will create a certain type of fruit. So an angry, aggressive, greedy heart, teach them Qigong and perfect Tai Chi, doesn't necessarily equal good result. It can equal poison seed, because the seed, their intention for learning Qigong, wasn't spiritual. Does that answer your question? It's a great question.
So I think the original question was an example of spiritual kindness.
Yes.
And by talking about massage, well, that's care, not... that's more like releasing suffering or like massage or... So I can't remember where the answer was from Daniel's example about spiritual kindness. It was sharing philosophy.
Philosophy is the main one.
Yeah.
But in saying that, like someone giving you a good massage can be like, oh dude, that feels so good. Like that can be joyful.
Okay. But I would have thought that's
but it might not be spiritual suffering. Joy because it's not sharing eternal wisdom.
Yeah. I think though the part I'm confused about
is that care
and kind. Yeah. So it's, to me, massage is releasing suffering, so it's care.
Wouldn't it be like an overlap? Because it's there, you're caring for someone, but you're also bringing joy because they're not in pain anymore.
Yeah. So what I'm looking for is a pure kind, no care.
Okay.
Just a kind. Spiritual kindness example of it.
So the four eternal hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Are actually one heart,
mm-hmm.
the Buddha heart.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was the first step to get there, we've got kind of no chance to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets broken down into the four eternal hearts. But it's not just kindness, it's kindness without
ego.
Right, it's not just caring, it's caring without
personal negative emotion.
Negative personal emotion. So it's not like, oh, now that's kindness, sweet, I know what kindness is.
No.
It's in that situation, be kind, but not create any
weird
egos.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a kind person.
Kind.
I gave Sean a lift.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have to think that. I automatically do it because that's our level.
Mm.
So automatically when we're kind, ego's there. The same as when we learn philosophy, the first thing that happens is, I know that philosophy.
I've heard this before.
Yeah.
I've read the word suffering so many times.
Yeah, we did no ego last week.
Yeah, English is my mother language, mate.
Yeah. and that's the trick, and that's part of it, is it's something that you can only really do in the present or observe and go... That's the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, whether you're looking at kindness or caring, I would actually bring in the full part to it to say, does my care have personal? Like, why won't you accept my massage in the middle of the room?
Why don't you let me help you?
Yeah.
That's my favorite. You said that so well. But But yeah, think of it like a car. You can't have a car and only have one wheel. You need four wheels. Same with Buddha's ability, it's four eternal hearts. And same with our ability, our level is, we're going to be stronger in one or the other naturally. So you go to that one and go, all right, this makes sense to me. That's my main one, but I'm always trying to build the other three.
Is there any other example of kindness in a spiritual direction, or is it?
There's so many.
Okay. Because I don't think I understand it.
How did everyone get to this class?
Valerie.
A car?
He hasn't been today.
How did you get to this class? How did you arrive in this?
Oh, I chose to come.
Yeah. Did you? How did you know there was a class?
Somebody shared.
Who was that?
I don't know exactly, but somewhere along the line.
You were invited to this class?
Yeah.
Someone said, you know what? Maybe you might like this class. Maybe you learn something, maybe you don't. Maybe you never come again.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an intention to do that. That's surely a spiritual kind of intention. Invite you to a class to learn spiritual wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And before that even happened, there was someone else who was kind to you to allow you to hear about that. If you don't allow the time in your life to do something healthy, you would never learn about this class. So you being kind to yourself brought you to Red Bull and brought you to Tim and brought you to classes.
Yeah, yeah.
So kindness to yourself is actually... That's why generosity is the first of the six Buddhasattva characters. Generous to yourself, generous to other life. Because if you're not kind to yourself, you can't be kind to other life.
Mm.
So part of healing and massage each other is actually just recognizing, bro, I'm so tense, you don't want tense, I'll get rid of yours, then you get rid of my tense.
Mm.
It's kind of like, I know I need this, so I'm happy to share that and give that to someone else. So does that? So kindness intention starts with yourself. And that's the first one. We actually forget that. We sit there judging ourselves. I'm low level. I don't train enough. And I ate two ice creams yesterday. Like, we beat ourselves up so much, you know? Rather go from the other side and be like, all right, you're doing good, John. You're doing good. You've learned a lot in 35 years. And you've changed your life a lot from all these stupid things you thought were a good idea at the time. And now you realize they're not. And you changed. That's great. Well done. Keep going. You're a good little saver.
You're a good little saver.
Okay, so kind to yourself, caring to yourself.
Mm.
How do you show yourself kindness and care?
Epsom salt bath.
Epsom salt bath, there you go. That's good. Yeah. Give yourself a bit of time. Yeah.
Eating bimimbap.
Yes. Bimimbap, good food, quality food. There you go.
Coming to class.
That's the first spiritual one. That's spiritual kindness. Coming to learn eternal wisdom. It's investing in your own eternal understanding of this life system. Because without an eternal understanding, you're always going to be confused. But when you've got an eternal wisdom direction, you've always got a direction for your heart.
Does that include Monday's stretching class?
Monday's stretching class is fun and good karma, but I wouldn't call it spiritual. But it's a place where spiritual generosity seeds can be planted. And you'd be like, hey man, you look really great. You might like Wednesday class.
Yes, yeah. But that's kind of interesting. So see how like the step by step, you know, because you can't just go like, by the way, here's spirits. They're like, da-da-da. I wish I learned that way. But it's more like a step by step process over many years for someone to be in an environment for them to receive that information.
And I think it also is like supports this class as well, because I know if I come to Monday class and then being around like spiritual people, then I'm more like, it kind of jogs my memory. Whereas if I only come to this class, by the time it rolls around to like Monday or Tuesday, I'm like totally not thinking about philosophy at all. And then I come Wednesday and I'm like, oh, and then I start good and then it like drops off again. So
it's like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yeah, life is eternal. Saturday, Sunday, how long does it go for again? Monday, oh, this day will never end.
you said the phrase spiritual people. I'd be interested in what does that mean for everyone? Spiritual people.
I had another question
people
as well.
People who study philosophy or appreciate it.
What does everyone think? What do think spiritual people are? What makes someone a spiritual person?
Maybe it's a bad choice.
They do acro yoga. It's really good.
It's a great choice of word. Because one of the systems that Buddhism teaches is if you want to become awakened, you have to spend time with spiritual people. So it's good to clarify that, because there's a lot of different types of spiritual people out there.
From heart.
Spiritual from heart?
Yeah.
It's a buzzword.
Yeah, what do you mean?
You've got to clarify that, bro.
It should have, that person does some kind of action, so we can kind of like, oh, okay.
Something you can observe.
Yeah.
Maybe we should recap while everyone thinks someone else.
We should definitely... Maren, can you be official recapper?
We covered kindness and care, and now we're discussing spiritual kindness and spiritual care, and the difference between kindness and care in a spiritual direction and in a just good karma direction. And our examples of spiritual kindness were...
Learning philosophy.
And developing wisdom, sharing time, and our examples of... Yeah, that was all we had. We had lots of examples of good karma, but...
This is great. Spiritual people. Who are they? Where do you find them? How do you know they're really spiritual?
Anyone who has been learning the eternal truth of life philosophy from Sydney.
Ooh, that's quite limiting.
Oh, actually, yeah, sure.
Wow.
I guess anyone who's learning Buddhism as like a practical wisdom philosophy.
Yeah. I've never actually heard this defined, so we're going to have to... Have you heard this defined? Parts, cool. Anyone else?
Everyone that it's learning eternal perfect wisdom.
She's not safe, I like it.
Anyone who's learning the system of life or the Dharma to release own and other people's suffering.
Okay. They're all great. The thing is, when we first started learning, none of us were doing that yet. Can you say we weren't spiritual? When I first met Sivu, I was none of those things. I didn't understand any eternal wisdom. I didn't understand life from that perspective. I wasn't very generous. I was pretty full of myself. I thought I knew everything. At what point does someone like Sivu look at me and go, he's got the potential to be spiritual? Why?
Could it be sort of like you already do those things, but you have the intention? Like, sounds too easy, but the intention to learn philosophy or the intention to release suffering and Dharma joy, but because nobody here in this room is like at Buddha level, but has the intention to...
Develop,
yeah.
I love it. How do you see their intention though? How are you aware of that intention? That intention, you can't pluck it up, pick it up and show it to me. So how do you see that intention? I like that answer though. You've got there's a little tail into it though.
Yeah, and that's why we're asking examples, because it's easy to say, oh, that these people have spiritual intention. What does that actually look like?
Yeah.
Is it like having an open, willing heart to learn more about life?
How does it... Do you walk up and ask them?
Yeah, what
does that look like? How open to learning about life are you?
Well, I think that's what happened when you like you say how everyone sort of came here because they were influenced on and sharing about. So I think when you have an open heart to sort of, or curious to know more about life, you're more open to that person sharing that wisdom, and that sort of eventually led to coming into classes and learning more about it because you want to learn more about that system.
So curious to learn. Cool. Yeah.
Can you learn about their attention through their action and speaking?
It's one of the best ways to learn about someone is observe their action. How do we observe people? We can't observe intention.
But we can observe speaking and acting.
Speaking and action are outward. We can see that. And from their speaking, you can kind of get a feeling of what they're thinking. You ever had someone turn to you and go, "Oi, what are you doing later? Can I lift home?" That choice of words was purely because I was like, I don't want to get a taxi home. Oi, what are you... Yeah. Right? So
are you
I can...
free? Do you have a vehicle?
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Did you drive here?
Yeah.
You can get a feeling. What I say is a pretty good indicator of what I was thinking, right? And that thought pattern came from my intention. So, yeah, at the beginning we watch action, we watch speaking, we look at... And then we start to... When you get really good at observing people... It starts with something simple. So when someone first rocks up to stretching class, you don't start talking to them, "Hey, did you know there's these three eternal Dharma truths and some really deep wisdom?" You go to them, "What are you looking for out of life?" Simple question. Very vague. They can go anywhere with that. And if they go, "A couple million bucks in the bank and, you know, like a trophy that says I'm the coolest person ever," right?
Smoking off wife, six kids, and a castle.
Yeah. Dude, that's what Red Bull said.
Yeah.
Red Bull's answer when Sivu asked him, it was like, a castle, six kids, smoking off wife. And Sivu was like, really? Yeah. Why do you want that? So I don't know. Seemed like a good idea. Reckon I've made it when I've got a castle.
Yeah.
So even though we ask the question and the answer comes out really not there, doesn't mean the person is really that, you know. That's just their level of awareness answering that question now. So the real way is you test them. Do they enjoy stretching? Do they enjoy talking about life? Do they enjoy learning martial art? If they enjoy learning all these things and they start to see the logic and see the benefit, there's a poem about wisdom, and the first level is wisdom follows wisdom. So you want to know if someone's wise? Present them with some logic. Say, this is the wise thing to do in this situation. If they follow that wisdom, it's a pretty good start. Pretty good start. If they have the ability to go, you know what? I don't have all the answers, and that's a really good idea. I'm going to try that. Something new. That's a pretty good idea that they're... At least give them more chance. But if you ask them, do you want to do some stretching? And they go, mate, let's go to the pub. Am I going to share spiritual partner journey time with that person? Not yet. Maybe, but not yet. I'm going to need to go to the pub, seek a few schooners and talk them around. Bare minimum, I'm going to spend some time influencing them out of that lifestyle. And do I have the ability to do that and not fall into that blindness? That's how I know whether I'm in care with negative person or not. If I go to help them and they pull me into suffering, I don't have that wisdom. But if I go to help them and pull them out of their suffering and we both go joyful, then I have the ability. So you always got to remain observing, because every situation is different. It's not as simple as this is black and white, that's care, that's kind, that's joy. Like Tim said before, they all together, all at once, you're free to play with all four.
Lucky we've got a definition of spiritual that you can take home and use. There are four elements. Does anyone know these? We've definitely covered them in the BBC.
We've covered them here too. Yeah. The four things that make something spiritual quality.
Once you hear them, you're like, oh, totally. You're talking about a particular level. We use complete. They're not the words we're looking for. For
was
a short book.
Language?
No.
Can you give
it's
us
part
a
of it. Yeah, it begins with T. What are we trying to... Yeah, what are we trying to learn?
Truth.
Truth. First class is spiritual. Truthful. If it's fake and if it's changing, there's nothing spiritual about it. Who cares about it? Everything's constantly changing. There's nothing else we can know. Unless we know something that does not change. Something that always stays true. And that would be truthful. You have a question?
Yes. So for it to be truthful in that sense, it has to be like the wisdom behind what's creating that, because everything we can see is constantly changing.
I think Maren's question was, what makes it truthful? Because we're in a world that's constantly changing, so where do you find something that's constant in that? That's her question.
Yes.
If everything is made of atoms and atoms constantly change, where do you find something that's true in that? Something that won't change?
So everything in illusion being is constantly changing, but the ability to be aware of that constant changing, consciousness, ability, that's the awareness that's attainable.
So the ability to be aware remains. Mm. So you're saying that's not part of the changing.
Yes.
So for now we can say that's eternal, that's something that's true.
Yeah.
Tim, how do you feel about
that? If everything is constantly changing and I am aware of that changing, at that point, am I changing? Or am I aware of that change? Because I'm aware of something, I'm not that something.
If A is aware of B, you can't say A is B. Because A is the thing that's aware of B. Jono's just answering this one part of the question, and that question's deep. And the rest of the stuff she said after it, if we don't get the foundation of the question right, it'll all be wrong.
Mm.
So first layer, everything's constantly changing.
Mm.
What do we find that's true and eternal in that constantly changing? Jono's given one example. My ability to remain aware, doesn't matter what I see changing, I'm aware of it changing. So I must be constant, and that is changing.
So whatever you remain aware of that changing... You are not part of that change.
I'm looking at it, from like a different angle. So
there's more than one answer to that question.
The first eternal Dharma truth states that all the appearing form of Dharma is constantly changing. So in that, isn't that the truth already? That around us is...
Why is that a truth?
Because everything that appears is constantly changing. So everything is made out of atoms and animals buzz and things get built, destroyed, everything sort of, changes even ourselves. So
where's eternal in that? You've got to explain what makes...
But I thought we were talking about truth. Why are we talking about eternal?
You're right on it. I know what you're saying. I'm just wanting you to tie it up for the people at home.
Mm. Everything is constantly changing.
Yes.
The truth that everything constantly changing, that truth is eternal.
Yeah.
That was, never changed.
That was explained by Buddha 2,500 years ago. It was true then. It's true now. It'll be true in eternity. It'll still be true. That's eternal. That's true. The fact that that sentence explains life eternally. You can, no matter what life reads that sentence, no matter what space they're in, no matter what time, that sentence remains true. So that is eternal. Everything will eternally constantly change. The fact that sentence itself is eternally true.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. So that's quite deep. Does everyone understand that? Catch that?
How did we get to this?
This is what we're talking about, spiritual. How to define spiritual. The first part has to be true.
Yes,
has to be
that's
some
right,
truth.
That's right. Yeah, there's truth. There's three more.
It's three more.
Is it four elements of what makes something spiritual? And if you think of how we're trying to be, if I rock up here and I pretend I know everything about Buddhism, I know it all, and my Tai Chi is perfect, but in reality, you watch my Tai Chi, there's nothing there. And when I talk here, I don't actually solve, there's no suffering being released, it's just more and more headaches. That's not true. That's disingenuous. So already I'm going against that spiritual quality.
And that's always saying no makeup, no like too bright clothes, because the idea is actually to be
just natural being. So when we sit here, if you ask me a question and I'll be like, I don't know, Tim.
I'll be like, I also don't know, but I have the blog.
That's us practicing that truthful quality, because it's quite easy for my ego to go pretend you have all the answers. Don't let them know you don't know stuff.
Yeah. You wouldn't explain it,
Tim,
if I explained
you don't understand this. I'll explain it.
You know what I mean? If we spoke like that, there's no truthful here.
Yeah. And there's no joy then. It's just ego versus ego, right? But we try to not have that. If you ask a question, and we, between us and the blog, we can't find it, I'll find the time to text Sifu or Giant Dog or someone and ask and observe it and try and come with a real logical explanation to it. So being genuine is part of being a truthful character. But then there's a harmony truthful, like you don't walk up to your parents and go, your lifestyle is blind, you'll never understand me. Ah! No, harmony is, you just blend in with them, you know, you match them, tell them the truth they can handle. What are you doing this weekend? Ah, probably something really healthy. Don't worry about it. It's cool.
You just raised a good point. Truth is not always like, I have the truth, I have to tell everyone about all the truth. Because now that's, because that's a way I can bring suffering to many people. If I go and be truth, I'd be like, truthful, tell them the truth. Then it's just, then who's...
But then sometimes people say the truth, but it's not really the truth. It's just their own opinion.
Yeah. Correct. So the kind of truthful we're talking about here is what?
Perfect. Eternal.
Yeah, the eternal kind of truthful.
Okay.
Whereas the truth would be like, I know everything about you and your problems and you have all these blindnesses. That's my intention. Well, there's no real truth there.
Every person I meet...
You look bad in green. Like... That's not true. That's just your opinion.
Yeah.
It could be true. No.
But how do you prove that's true?
But it's like, if every person I meet, I say, hey, you need to learn this eternal wisdom and you need this and you need that. That's not harmony for them. Mm. That's not even true, because if at their level they're not ready to take on that wisdom, that's just me making up my own opinion and cramming it on them. Mm. So truth is a playful word as well.
Which brings us to the second part of spiritual, which is, we had a problem with truth. We've got all this truth. We can't just go ramming truth down everyone's throat. That doesn't actually help that person. It actually brings them suffering. So there's an element to sharing truth that we need to be aware of. And we covered it right at the start of this class. Kind.
Oh.
What's so special about truth if there's no kindness behind? Mm. To share that truth, surely to be help the other person. If I can talk Buddhism to a friend of mine that doesn't really care about Buddhism, but if I just keep hammering him about it, it's just annoying him. Just kind of put him down, put myself up. Actually, the best thing to do is share what I can, and then no problem. And then not actually try and push that, because it involves kindness.
Or sharing a truth that causes someone suffering.
Yeah, that's not. That'd yeah, be, that wouldn't be kindness, fine. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For something to be spiritual, it has to be true, and it has to be kind.
Limits the amount of stuff that we do on a daily basis that matches both of those, right?
That's why we have Monday class, Wednesday class, because I know that without those classes and people to share that with, what am I going to do? Go home and like do stupid stuff and eat too much and not... I don't have a chance to share these abilities unless I have people who want to share them. That's why we have a dojo where we share the cost of the space.
Which brings us to the third part of spiritual, which is...
Art.
Art.
Yeah.
Because... we have the truth. He has the intention to be kind, but the actual way to bring it to someone.
To deliver it.
You might just go, hey, you're hopeless, do this. Yeah. That's one style.
Tall stick, no carrot.
Yeah. Oh, Tim, you're great. You're so good.
You're already a master. All carrot, no stick.
Truthful,
kind, and artist, like art. Martial art. We don't learn how to have power in an ugly way. We learn how to have power in a beautiful, elegant way. Martial art. And art is how you involve with people. If you've had a bad day and you need help with someone, do you walk in and go, I had a bad day, or do I walk in and go, hey bro, are you busy? Can I just get a quick back walk and I'll make you dinner? Like,
can you just do the first one on top?
Oh. Don't even ask. I'm not even going to tell you because it's so bad.
That brought a lot of joy to Tim.
If his sister does it.
He would never do it. But just to walk in and just like sit down like, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Nothing. I'm fine.
Don't even ask.
Don't even ask. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, that is very not my normal character. I will hide a bad mood and I do my best not to let anyone know I've got it.
Because that's one style of art to get attention for someone to help you. Another style is, oh, I'm so tense. Would you be able to talk, mate? Yes. Yeah, no problem.
Walk on my back.
You know?
I'll get up and go, hey, Tim, do you want a back walk? Knowing that he's the kind of guy that he's going to turn around and go, now do you want one?
So that's kindness with the...
It's a bit of a kindness, but it's still a kindness.
With a good result.
Yeah. For all I know, halfway through the back walk, he's going to get a phone call and run off and I'll lose my back walk. It's gone forever. So it's not completely selfish. There's a kindness there.
So we have truth. We're kindness to share that truth. We don't have the skill to share it yet. So we develop the skill.
Which is the art.
The art.
The art of showing that kindness.
So art is more, it's like how you do things. So it would be how you do a form, how you talk to people, how you do those first two things, how you share
truth. Sure. And that's unlimited. You look at music,
how you pick
dance.
Up a cup?
Everything, yeah, how you pick up the cup, you know what I mean? You can do it any way you like, but that's your level of art.
Mm.
And we only have a certain level of that. And that brings us to the fourth part of spiritual. What happens when you can do any way, any style, to anyone, beginning with F?
Freedom.
Then you have unlimited freedom to help anyone in any way, or not help that person. Maybe it's not the right time to help them. That's when your art is unlimited, and that's what we learn from Buddha and Bodhisattva.
They say the strongest force in the universe is a truly kind, intentioned heart. No one will ever refuse true kindness if it's in that wise intention, convenient way. If someone offers you something and you need it and you're happy to enjoy it and they offer it to you in the right way, your heart will always accept. No one will ever refuse true kindness. But kindness with an ego trick behind it, people are pretty good at refusing that now. Everyone's been bombarded with information and they're really good at... You walk up to someone on the street and go, hey, can I get 2 minutes of your... No, I'm... Put out a sign saying free healing, free backwalk, something truly kind, people will come. They'll be there. Kindness is actually more powerful than any... You can think you're the strongest. I can have all the martial art power in the world. And if someone shows me true kindness, can I use that power on them?
Yeah, do you really want
to... Do you really want to hurt the kindest person ever? Right? Even if I've got the most martial art dragon strength, I can rip... And some guy stands in front of me and he's really kind and he's got kind eyes and I'm like, my power is useless.
Yeah.
I have no power. Can't stop that. That's much stronger force. Right? Intention and willing heart is actually the most powerful force that we have, but we don't train it. We don't know how to. And this is how we learn to observe it. Take it out of negative... Put it into positive intention. It's the beginning to purifying our life, is taking, observing how do we spend our time, our actions, our speaking. Do I walk in, hey Tim, how are you, mate? Yeah, I walk in, want to give him a hug? Most of the guys in our group, when they hug, it's barely even that. You go hug guys in the gym and they're like, g'day Rigo, smack you on the back.
Feel these ones?
Like, it's really rough, right? It's rough body language, it's rough way of treating each other. And that's what I love about our group is everyone tries to walk into a space and be sensitive, delicate. I match the group. I match everything. You walk in and you're like, people are going to notice in this group. But you can get away with that with your family. You can walk into your family place and act like blind and they'll just, oh, that's just who you are. But in this group, What happened?
She didn't get married.
I didn't. I was looking at you because you
Subconscious, right there.
No, I was looking at Valerie because we were talking today about how when you have like a negative, you show it to the people you care about more than like a stranger.
Yeah.
That's why I looked at me because I remembered what Valerie said. I wasn't looking at Mary.
Yeah, people often do that. So they'll have someone they're very close to and behind closed doors they bicker, they show a tired, grumpy, go out in the street and the person that serves them at the cafe, hey, how are you? Oh, that's great. Have a lovely day. I'm having the worst day. Oh, yeah, you're back. Great. That's funny. You're hilarious. Yeah. Like, why do we show that ugly character to the people we care about, but the people that are complete strangers that actually we don't care if they like us or not, they're the ones we turn on the stage face for? Twisted, right? So, yeah.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, same with road rage. I mean, they're like shouting at this guy in front of me, and Sifu's like, you know, they can't hear you, but I can.
And then I stopped, and he's like,
but actually, it's smart of you to get into road rage while I'm in the car. That's a good move. I was like, really? I thought it was really bad. He's like, no, I teach martial arts. It'd be best to have me in the car if you're going to start road rage. He's like, but you shouldn't do it. I'm sorry.
A very good point. So the wisdom we're learning is from, it's called observing self-being, and it's observing both our own existing and what our impact is on everyone around us, and learning to purify that existing. We all start from wherever we're at, and that observing ability, we never stop constantly observing. That's what we're developing, is the ability to observe our body, space and surroundings and be aware of life from more angles. And the more we can observe our own heart and strip back all the blindness layers, the more power we'll have to create something through wise intention. But if we don't observe our own heart, we are naturally creating, but we're creating through blind intention. And every moment we exist is in blindness, creating more and more blindness. But if we spend more of our time observing and awaken to be aware of life more clearly, then we spend every minute or as much time as possible creating for eternal heart intention, which becomes six Bodhisattva characters, behavior and action. All right? So four eternal hearts is the goal, six Bodhisattva characters is the path, and one day when we just enjoy walking this path, that four eternal heart intention will naturally be in our heart for us to show generosity. That's how it works. That intention is the goal, but we have to practice with outward action, which is behavior, character. When you go home tonight, show the people that are your closest to you, show them really, I appreciate you.
Yeah, sure.
Because often we neglect the people we care about the most, and we show that, we save that nice character for complete strangers that we really don't care about.
Easy one to observe. If you want to go home, are your lips up or down or neutral? Or you're not even aware of your lip position. That's one thing where, so there was a girl who had the biggest U shape. She's quite pretty, but just like, almost looked like a clown because it was drawn all the way down. It's like, fuck.
So sour.
I can't even create the issue. But so I just couldn't do it. Like, she went past us. Looked like it was drawn on. But you know what I mean? Like, so no matter what, I can see her intention. She doesn't have to say anything or do anything. Just see that face. Like, she's not happy. Happy, bright, positive person. No. She's probably like,
no. And she might be having a tough day. Might be just one of those days. And this is a cool game to play, is go and observe people and copy their facial expression, and you'll feel how they're experiencing life. Observe what facial expression you pull, because I've got to bring this show up just because it's so funny. It's the end of a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode, and the captain accuses one of the staff of storming out of his party, and he's like, I didn't storm out, I shook hands with you and all your guests. And he was like, yes, and we all agreed that you used way more power than necessary. And then they finish this conversation and they agree on something, and he goes, alright, very good day. And he goes, are you still upset? And he's like, no, I'm great. And he's like, you need to reconsider how much power you're using, it's sending the wrong message. Because he's the big jack guy from Brooklyn. So funny. That's a big class though. Any questions before we wrap that up? Great. Good job. Yes, good.